Let's open our Bibles this morning to God's Word in Ephesians chapter 3. We read the sacred writings, the Holy Word of God in Ephesians chapter 3. We'd like to consider verses 16 through 19, the prayer of the apostle for spiritual strengthening. Let's read that together. Beginning at verse 16, that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Your Heavenly Father desires your spiritual strengthening. It is His intent that the spiritual life that we possess, that He's given to us, be strong and be vibrant. It is not the will of the Heavenly Father, nor is it acceptable that our spiritual life become faint-hearted, that it become listless, that it become complacent, that it become dull. But He desires by His grace that our faith always be robust. And in the words of Romans chapter 4, referring to the faith of Abraham and Sarah, that it be a faith that gives glory to God, and that we walk in the power of the faith. And for that reason, that God desires our spiritual life to be strong and to be vibrant and to be growing stronger, He gives to us the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the ordinance of the Church of Jesus Christ, the means given by Jesus Christ for the assurance, for the strengthening of our faith, for it assures us of the divine love of God for us, of the full and gracious pardon of all of our sins, and of the promise of an indwelling Holy Spirit to be and abide in our souls. And just on that point, that the Lord's Supper is given for the strengthening of faith. Just on that point now, we'd like to encourage the young people and young adults to make confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have faith in Him, that you say, Lord, I need to be strengthened in my faith. You struggle. You have many questions. You love the Lord. You believe His Word. You want to live a holy life, and you say, there's weakness in me, and there's struggles in me. I'm not what I should be. And I want to encourage you to make confession of your faith, for the Lord's Supper is given not for those who are perfect, but for the strengthening of such faith. This is also now the prayer of the Apostle Paul, that the Apostle Paul is praying in the text that we be strengthened spiritually. You might look at these four verses and say, that is a mouthful. And it certainly is. It is packed with intense spiritual truths. It's a passage in the Scriptures that may be compared to one of the mountain ranges that God has made in the earth, places of vast and intense glory, the Himalayas, the Andes, the Cascades, the Rocky Mountains. So also this passage is one of those lofty, one of those intensely majestic spiritual passages. The Apostle Paul puts a lot of spiritual truth into this passage. Note with me that the Apostle Paul is praying. Verse 14, he's on his knees. And he's on his knees for us. He's praying for us. And his prayer is not a superficial prayer. It's not a prayer perhaps in today's common language in Protestantism. Well, Lord, I just want to say that I hope they have a good Super Bowl Sunday. No. His prayer reflects that this man knows God deeply, loves God supremely, knows all what the spiritual life is all about in the world, desires that these blessings be given to us. He prays that Christ abide in our hearts. He prays that we be rooted and grounded in love. He prays for the enlargement of our spiritual abilities to comprehend the love of Christ. He prays that we be filled with the fullness of God. But centrally in his prayer, The central theme of his prayer is that he prays for spiritual strengthening. He says, I bow my knees, I get down on my knees to the Father in order that He would grant unto you by the Holy Spirit to be strengthened with might in the inner man. The main thing that he prays for is our spiritual strengthening. Not physical strengthening, not emotional strengthening, not financial strengthening, but strengthening of our spiritual life, of the inner man, by the Spirit of God in us. So let's consider that for just a few moments. Spiritual strengthening, following three things briefly. What is that? Number two, when that happens, what's the result? And number three, what is the ultimate goal or purpose for spiritual strengthening? Paul is praying, and we are praying with him for the strengthening, he says in verse 16, of the inner man. Pray that God would grant you to be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man. The inner man does not refer, as the world would think, to the inner life of a person. Everybody has an inner life, his person, or what psychology calls his ego or ego. He's not referring to the inner life in that sense, but he's referring to the inner man of Christ, the gift of grace called spiritual rebirth or regeneration. The apostle refers to it in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, when he says, for which cause, that is, because of all of these persecutions, we do not faint. But though our outward man, the outward man is our physical life, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, says Paul, is renewed day by day. This is a life, says Paul, that does not perish. It does not get arthritis. It does not decay. But the inward man, the inner life, is the life of Jesus Christ. The reborn life that God has given by grace. It's a life that unbelievers do not have. That we did not have. But that God implanted in us by His grace. It's a life, says Paul, that is there by the Holy Spirit. By the strengthening of the Spirit, he says in verse 16, who puts it there and protects it there and nourishes it there through the Word of God and through sacraments. And his prayer now is that this inward spiritual life be strengthened with might or with ability. The apostle is praying then that the spiritual life of Christ, the new life of Christ in me, the life that will not perish, that life be strengthened. For when that spiritual life is given to us, it's not given as a full-grown man, but as a babe. It is a life that is victorious and perfect and will go to heaven, but yet in this present world, due to our sins, is subject to illness and weakness, and the devil constantly seeks to get it to go astray. And so he says, I pray that your inward spiritual life in Christ be strengthened. And what that means further is explained in verse 17 when he says that Christ dwell in your hearts by faith. So that the inward man, when he says, I pray that your inward man, given to you by the Spirit, be strengthened, that's the same as praying that Christ abide in you by faith. We are strengthened spiritually when Christ abides in us by faith. Spiritual strengthening is not, as a televangelist with a packed audience
And the deacons bring up one who is infirmed, and he places his hand on their forehead, and they fall backwards, and the deacons catch them, and they've been imparted spiritual life, and all the other foolishness. That's not spiritual strengthening. But spiritual strengthening has to do with faith in Jesus Christ. It is with the truth that Christ abides, says the apostle, within you. He dwells within you, the indwelling Christ, by faith. And his prayer is, may the Holy Spirit cause that the life of Christ in you, the faith in you, that becomes strong, so that Christ be in all our thinking, that Christ be in all our willing, that Christ be in all our desiring, that we live not after the impulses of our own thinking, of our own heart, of our own responses, but that Christ abide in me. I pray God, says the apostle, that you be strengthened, that you might live out of faith in the abiding Christ within you. Is that your prayer? Is that your heartfelt need after a week? Lord, strengthen the life of Christ in me, the life of faith, the inward man. Strengthen the truth that Christ abides in me and I'm His child. We don't need to be exhorted to make such a prayer with respect to our bodies. We want our bodies to be firm, toned with respect to our finances. We want them to be strong. With respect to our emotional life, we want that to be strong. With respect to our business, we want a strong, flourishing business. But all of those things, say the Scriptures, belong to the perishing earthly life. They're important. But on your deathbed, you're not going to say, boy, I wish I had been stronger in my shoulders. I wish I had a stronger portfolio. On your deathbed as a child of God, you're going to pray, Lord, I wish now, I see very plainly now, I wish all my days I had been stronger spiritually with the abiding Jesus Christ. Is that your prayer? The apostle goes on very briefly now in verses 17 and 18 to tell us what the result will be of spiritual strengthening. And the result of spiritual strengthening that he prays for is not the one that we would have picked first, I don't believe. He says that ye, verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able, here's the result, you must be spiritually strong in order that you are able. You have to become strong so that you can do something. Do what? So that you are able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and width and depth of the love of Christ which passes knowledge. The result of spiritual strengthening will be, says the apostle, the greater ability to comprehend the love of Christ. We would say, Lord, make me more strong spiritually to resist sin. That's true. Lord, make me strong to do good works, to be the type of Christian that I should be in this world. That's true. We might even say, according to our pride, Lord, make me strong spiritually so that others in the congregation woo and awe over my spiritual abilities. That's pride. But the apostle is asking and praying for something that's behind all of that, before we can walk in good works, before we can resist the devil. He's praying
make them strong spiritually, give their faith to grow in order that they may begin to apprehend, in order that they may begin to lay hold of something, something that is large, something that is immense, that they may begin to comprehend with all the saints that immense love of God in Jesus Christ. That's his prayer. The result of spiritual strengthening is that we begin to comprehend a little bit more. We gain the ability a little more to comprehend the love of Christ for us. And out of that comprehension of the love of Christ flows the Christian life. The Apostle Paul wants to emphasize in the passage the bigness of the love of Christ. In effect, he says, this is something no scale can weigh. You can't get a measuring tape around this. You can't place a slide rule by it. You can't type in the data into the computer and let the computer figure out the formula. You might be able to, through the theories of triangles and corollaries and distances, you may be able, using that, to comprehend how far that star is away from you. You might get something on that, but you cannot comprehend this. You can't get your mind around this. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the love of Christ, which passes, says the Apostle, knowledge? The emphasis is on the bigness of the thing. And his prayer is, Lord, strengthen them spiritually so that they can do good works, yes, but strengthen them spiritually so that they form in their mind, in their heart, a better estimate, a better understanding personally of the measureless love of Christ. And he's praying here, not just for the minister in his study, as he compares Scripture to Scripture, that the Holy Spirit give him to push back his chair and say, how can anyone explain the love of God? He's praying not just for theologians, so that they can write clear, penetrating books about the love of God. He's praying not just for old people in a rocking chair, but he's praying all the saints, note verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. That's you, boys and girls. That's you, dad and mom. That's each one of us. That each one of us get a better comprehension of the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Cause them to grow spiritually. Why? So that they get a better understanding of the love of Christ. We can talk about it. We're going to read the form about it. We're going to celebrate it. But it passes knowledge. It's too high. I cannot attain to it. I cannot comprehend it. So here's the guess. Here's the heart of the matter. The prayer is, Lord, strengthen me spiritually so that I might begin to apprehend the mystery of the love of Christ for me. Now there's a step in there that I missed, verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. So the step that's in between, Lord, grant that we may grow spiritually so that we may comprehend the love of God. The step in between is that we be rooted and grounded in love, or that we love each other. So the idea is not we go off into our own spiritual corner with the Lord and we grow in an understanding of His love. That's not what Paul is praying. That's not the way it works. But he's saying that we grow in that love. We are strengthened spiritually and grow in an understanding of love of Christ in the communion of the body of Christ. And specifically, when the love of Christ expands our hearts, one for each other. Our hearts have to be expanded in love. I'd like to use the example, I don't think it happens anymore, but when I was a little boy in the 60s, then Mom and Dad would take us to the shoe store in South Holland to get the Sunday shoes. And I don't go to shoe stores anymore. They come in the mail. But we'd go to a shoe store, and I don't know if you have this anymore, whether the fabrics or all kinds of sizes, you can get the one that fits you, but my foot was small and wide. And there was no shoe wide enough. It'd always be an inch or two too much, but it was never wide enough. And you couldn't get the foot in it. I'd like that kind and get the foot in it, but it pinched. And they used to have in the shoe store this wooden thing you put into a shoe. The shoe salesman would put it in there and it'd be a little screw and he'd screw it. It pressed. Because it was made of leather, it'd make the shoe bigger. I don't know if they have these anymore, but they'd expand the leather. They'd expand it so that you could get your foot into it. So says the apostle that our hearts become shriveled like a prune. They become very narrow, envious. And the apostle says, if we are to comprehend with all the saints the matchless love of Christ for me, then the Holy Spirit needs to push out the love of Christ, push out our hearts and fill them with the love of God for each other. That's his prayer. And then, there's one more step. The prayer is not, Lord, grant that they grow spiritually, strengthen them, so that they comprehend the love of Christ. But he adds one more thing, to the end. To the end, literally, that they might be filled with the fullness of God. So the final goal is that we be filled with the fullness of God, which means that the glory of God through faith, the grace and the glory of God through faith be in us, and that this emanate, that the fullness of God, that God Himself in His grace, emanate, that we be filled with the fullness of God and that God be glorified in us, so that we become pure as He is pure, that we desire to be godly and servants of our God. So that's the prayer. Is that your prayer? Lord, strengthen me in the inner man, the life of Christ in me, in order that being strengthened, I might better comprehend the love of Christ, in order that comprehending that love of Christ, I might be filled with the glory of God, and God be glorified.
by me.
That's quite a prayer. But as we pray that, he says, now come, and in this supper, I will strengthen you. God grant it. Amen. Father in heaven, teach us to pray that way. Give us such an acquaintance with Thee and spiritual realities that we pray for the inward spiritual life of our souls. That we become concerned about the health of our spiritual being, the life of Christ. And that we might gain a better understanding of that love in order that we, being changed, might be a better reflector of the love of Christ. Now supply and hear this prayer and answer the prayer and the sacrament as well. Amen.